I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. To become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, as usual, tonight's program will be jam-packed with information. So if you're new to ET Yoga, you might want to get a paper and pencil handy because there'll be lots of information coming your way and different ideas and perspectives that you may want to follow up on later. We'll be centering around concepts around reality, perceptions of reality, a spiritual trip based on actually consciousness and human perspectives. And we'll be covering lots of techniques as well in tonight's program. So before we get into all that, we like to kick off the program in the usual fashion, which is by doing a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that'd be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari.
Hari 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 Om.
Yes, that bit of Japa yoga was led by Sri Swami Satchidananda, and he was the founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And for those that are new to ET yoga, I should also add that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible. And that's in an effort to become more self-empowered and to also be able to deal with any medical issues from a personal basis yourself as much as humanly possible. And in preparing for tonight's program, usually during the course of the week, I get certain information or ideas that come to me regarding content of the program. And I might add that I really do appreciate those ET yoga listeners who do take the time to email me. I definitely respond to everybody who emails me, and I would also be available to answer any questions concerning anything that's related to what I talk about on the program. And as well, I'm interested in your input with respect to ideas and topics that you'd like to hear about. You'll get the ET yoga perspective on those topics, and I might even do a whole show on some of your ideas. And as well, there's nothing that makes my week more than to hear about your successes utilizing concepts, ideas, or techniques that you hear on the program. And you can always email me at paperfungo, that's P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And much appreciate those people who do take the time to email me. And in preparing for tonight's program, I'm going to say that the quote of the week was this, and it comes actually from Esther Hicks. And if you don't know about Esther Hicks, I highly recommend that you go to YouTube, and that's H-I-C-K-S, Hicks, Esther Hicks. A lot of her information is quite consistent with that of Bashar. And if you don't know about Bashar, you can go to www.bashar.org. And he is Esasani, now called the Shakani. And he is channeled by Daryl Anka. And the quote of the week for me is, no matter who thinks they are in control of you, they aren't. And I'm going to repeat that. No matter who thinks they are in control of you, they aren't. And we're going to probably touch upon that concept a lot in tonight's program because the actual fact is that even your personality is not in control of you. So, that's an illusion as well. And we'll get into that a little more deeply when I talk about some of the information that comes from Adranas. And first I'd like to just generally talk about spiritual journey. For most people, it kind of goes similar to that you're going along in life and, of course, you're seeking pleasure, avoiding pain, those are the motivations for human behavior, and you're kind of seeking happiness by seeking to obtain certain things from the outside world. And I guess life is kind of set up so that you just chase those things until you figure out that permanent happiness can't be obtained from that. It's kind of like in certain Eastern philosophies, they talk about desire is a trap. And it's kind of like an ice cream cone that melts in the sky. No matter what it is you obtain, it either you kind of go on to something else, or you fear losing it, or it just doesn't ever give you that total happiness. Because in point of fact, total happiness can only be obtained when the mind knows itself. And that's kind of what they call in yoga terminology the planting of the seed. And the planting of the seed is when a person realizes that there are higher levels of consciousness and that you have the ability to attain them. And that can happen in a variety of manners. For me personally, it happened after doing the Who Am I technique, which actually I will share with the listening audience tonight at the end of the program, and I do at the end of every ET yoga program of recent date. And kind of went through a doorway and had an experience of becoming one with my higher self. And that's the perspective or the information that you, after you know that, well, what else can you do but go on a spiritual journey? Because then you're working on trying to attain or maintain that level of perspective. And to me, a lot of yoga and reality is all about perspectives. In fact, this planting of the seed, it's actually what the true baptism is about. That's the real baptism. The awareness that there are higher levels of consciousness and that you have the ability to attain them. And this concept of the higher self is one that humanity lost sometime after the second fall of Atlantis. Somewhere about 10,000 years ago, there was a connection loss. And it's hard for a lot of extraterrestrials to even comprehend having existence without having a connection with higher self. So it's quite a, it does also show how powerful actually human beings are, because we're prepared to actually, you know, be born with without even having that connection. And shows a lot of courage. And also makes us delve into very dense levels of 3D reality. And I think that the comment that even our personalities are not in control of us, I think is kind of reflective in three of examples I'll give with respect to Bashar information, and how what I find is extraterrestrial information really supports and supplements the yoga information. Because yoga, to me, is, the real yoga is union. The word yoga means union of you and your higher self. And even though in the West, yoga has been thought of as just the yoga asanas or postures, that's called yoga. But in the real yoga is all about enlightenment and self-realization. And the information from Bashar is that there's only two objective facts that operate in the universe. Number one, that the entire universe was created from unconditional love. And second, that we have awareness. That's it. That's the only objective facts that there are. The rest is all subjective, including our personalities. our personality construct. It's a tool that enables us to experience these depths and densities called third dimension, kind of similar to personality, like all the snorkel gear that a diver would use to go into the ocean to explore the depths of the ocean. It's very analogous. And also a couple of Bashar examples are that I was listening to one of his programs, and he was actually channeling another extraterrestrial civilization besides his own, and was connecting them with several people. I think they're probably Bashar enthusiasts or followers. And the humans were asking a question of this ET race, but before the ET race would give an answer, they were asking the group who they set it up so that they would give a consensus answer or a consensus questions. And the information from the ET group was, who is asking the question? And that gave them some pause. Multiple answers were tried, but none of them were acceptable to the ET race. And eventually the ET race had to give them the answer of who was asking the question, and it's just your awareness. And I thought that was quite a fascinating perspective, because we don't really don't get that perspective in our daily lives. Our daily lives are about keeping us in a way trapped into a certain level of consciousness where we are primarily focused on an identity. An identity that's really an artificial construct, which is personality. So as soon as we start talking about I am Charles, or I'm John, or I'm Mary, or Susie, as soon as we get into that identity, it's not objectively correct. And I think that the Bashar information, you know, really helps to point that out. In fact, when a lot of people are interviewed, or not interviewed, or they're asking Bashar at a conference, let's say, and they'll come up to the microphone and they'll, the first thing they say, instead of saying, you know, greetings or hello, Bashar, they'll say, hello, my name is John Smith. And sometimes Bashar will say, well, if you insist. And the implication here is that if you want to believe or come from the perspective that you think you're John Smith, fine. But in reality, we know that's not so, because John Smith is, in a part, it's an identity that it does really help us function in society, but it has its useful purposes. But at the same time, when you're looking at it from the perspective of a spiritual journey, it has its certain limitations. And thus, many of the techniques and procedures that are taught in yoga are helping us to calm the mind, keep us in good health. And in point of fact, Sri Swami Satchidananda, he was the founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, and there was actually six different branches of yoga that he taught, and they are Hatha Yoga, which is the practice of the yoga postures or the asanas, breathing exercises called pranayams, and the cleansing practices called kriyas, and deep relaxation to strengthen and purify the body. Then there's Raja Yoga, R-A-J-A, which is the practice of meditation to balance and control the mind. Bhakti Yoga, B-H-A-K-T-I, is devotion manifested through constant love to God, the divine, or a spiritual teacher. Karma yoga, which is selfless service, free from attachment to the idea of the results of those actions. Jnana yoga, that's J-N-A-N-A, and that's the intellectual approach by which a transcendence of the body and mind is achieved through study, self-analysis, and awareness. And japa yoga, which is repetition of mantra, and which is the japa yoga is which we start the program off in the ET yoga fashion. And all of these are, of course, with a goal in mind of self-realization. And I'm also going to kind of touch on a little bit of numerology tonight, because an interesting bit of information from Bashar, because I know a lot of people are interested in ET contact, ET information, and also curiosity about the first contact scenarios. And according to Bashar, 9 is a reductive number in numerology and mathematics, and because of this represents the vibrational border or threshold for humanity at this point in time. And this is the limit for us in our physical reality before we transition into the fourth dimension. And if we take 5, that's humanity's number, and add it with 4, the number of transformation, we get 9, which is the highest number of this threshold. And to reinforce the idea of 9 as a threshold, we can think of the speed of light. And the speed of light is 186,282 miles per second. And if you add up all those numbers, 286, 282, it reduces to 9. So again, what we're seeing here is definitely a threshold, because in our dimension, the speed of light is a threshold. When you supersede the speed of light, then you start operating in other dimensions. And, of course, Bashar's formula for our highest path is, 1, to act to the best of our ability on our highest excitement. That's out of all the possibilities that exist. And then take it as far as you can, and do it with absolutely 0, 0, 0 insistence, assumption, and expectation. And Bashar suggests that a 9-year represents an opportunity for ET contact. And might have been Bashar's way of giving us a bit of a prediction, because if you start looking at years that are coming up, 2025 is a 9-year. 2025 adds up to 9. And sounds about right to me for the first open public contact. So I guess we'll see in the long run. Also, I find interesting from Bashar's point of view that he mentions that imagination is a very powerful tool that can be used individually and collectively. And it is the conduit between the higher mind and the physical mind, the pipeline through which your higher mind communicates to you, giving you ways to increase your excitement, passion, and living. And if you are willing to use your imagination without filtering it through a lens of fear, then you will find that the outcome will always be a positive one, that you will amplify any area of your life. And higher mind has a vast view and can see all the possible options that are before you in life, and because of this, it can guide you toward the option that is most you, that is, the one that creates the least resistance. Your physical mind can apply these higher mind ideas and bring you into wholeness And when the two minds are working in tandem, that would be the optimum. And the physical mind is not designed to know how things should happen. That's the job of the higher mind. If the physical mind tries to take on the job of figuring out the how, it'll be burdened, weighed down, and tired because it is not designed for that. When you follow your passion, the how is taken care of because the higher mind can see the best way for you to get where you want to be. The transition of that how through the imagination is the physical sensation of excitement, joy, passion, and love. And I think those are pretty good ideas to follow. And with respect to, again, this personal identity, I'm going to take some information from Adranus. And he suggests that if you took a white board, a large white board, and it's just filled with an empty space, and then you create a dot at the center of the board, which would, in analogy, represent the conscious mind. The conscious mind would be that dot, and it is unable to fully grasp the idea of the subconscious. And can the conscious mind reach the point of encompassing the conscious mind? And he states, yes. If the conscious mind drops the idea of control, when you understand that the conscious mind is not in control of reality-based factors, you will become more aligned with the direction-based consciousness. It's kind of like you are sailing in a canoe in a vast ocean where you are the navigator. You're able to chart the course with respect to the current. If you backpedaled or go against the current, you will not be able to move in an expansive direction because you're too busy fighting the current. You would be stagnant. Nothing good will come from going backwards. The current knows exactly where it will take you, and you have direction along the way. The current functions would be... for you is pretty much like as the tour guide. All you have to do is sit back and enjoy the ride and direct yourself along the journey. This is what the subconscious mind is trying to tell the conscious mind. As long as the conscious mind feels it needs to put up barriers, beliefs, borders, and personalized restrictions, you'll only see the very small facets of life. The feeling that you are assigning to yourself a point of identity is the crisis of you paddling backwards within the boat and not being able to say, I trust the universe. When you tap into the potential of your mind, what you are doing is surrendering control. All control will ever do to you is keep you stagnant because the conscious mind is not in charge. It never has been. It is a perspective-based viewer and observer. The conscious mind cannot make the decisions or the decision-making process concerning how you function in reality. So as we pointed out at the top of the program, if somebody thinks they are in control of you, well, they certainly aren't because even we're not in control of us. And support that point of view, information from Muji, that every sentient being is naturally conscious of its existence. Everyone knows and refers to themselves as I am. When we say I am, it points to consciousness, to sentience. I am is the untaught way of self-knowledge. However, consciousness, due to the conditioning it has received, started identifying with the instrument through which it can taste its existence. Hence the idea, I am only the body and personality was born. It is a severe limitation upon one's being and the chief cause of suffering in this world. But each one has the potential inside themselves to discover their inherent freedom and escape this delusion. On a deeper level, this is really what motivates our existence. Unaware of the tremendous harmony that exists in the universe, the human race is restless. And this restlessness is actually a search for lasting satisfaction. As persons, we are compelled for a while to search for fulfillment in the fleeting objects of this world, which are time-bound. But that essential itch is only alleviated once and for all when our personal identity is merged with our timeless being. And again, I think this relates to matters of perspectives on reality, because as I understand it, about 99% of the people are not aware that we create our own reality. That's critical, okay? Because if you think that we don't create our own reality, then you're going to be stuck in a very dense 3D existence. That's the demarcation line. Once you become aware of the fact that it's your thoughts, emotions, definitions, intentions that are a perfect reflector of what you experience. In other words, you can't have an experience in any dimension without being a perfect frequency match for that belief. That's how the universe works. And unfortunately, I think it was Esther Hicks that mentioned that, like 99% of humanity is not aware of the fact that we create our own reality. And if we create our own reality, then we have the power to change certain aspects in it. It's not that we're victims of somebody else's ideas or random, or that reality is totally a random situation. And it's not that it's a wrong belief, because all beliefs are equally valid. But if you believe that, then you're not going to be moving on into fourth or fifth dimensional awareness and consciousness. And part of that process I call consciousness completion, because wherever it is, whatever point you are, whatever frequency you are, when you realize that you are your higher self and you start working on attaining that perspective of reality, what you kind of will come to realize is that there is a chakra system, and that of the seven chakras that are in the body, that will be functioning primarily in certain of those chakras. And it's only by getting all of those chakras totally open and activated that we can maintain a level of higher self. And part of that would be due to a process that you can call, I call, consciousness completion, which is activating all of our 12-strand DNA. And there are, no doubt, multiple ways that this can be accomplished. One of them is through the mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. And that's Om Mani, M-A-N-I-P-A-D-M-E, H-U-M, Om Mani Padme Hum. And according to certain sources, if it's recited 108 times per day, that would be a technique that can bring this about. It's also about the sacred Sri Yantra divine geometry. So the instructions are to place a Sri Yantra, which is the king of all yantras, yantras being like physical, visual mantras, and you place a Sri Yantra 2D photo in front of you at forehead height. And while you chant this mantra 108 times, you look into the center spot in the bindo of the Sri Yantra, and it balances the right and left lobes of your brain. And a person who has access to both is also generating scalar waves, and thus in touch with higher dimensions of functioning. And I might add that the Dalai Lama endorsed this mantra, and it is very popular among Tibetan Buddhists now. And I recall it was also mentioned by Baba Ram Dass way back when he did his book, Be Here Now, Now Be Here. So an interesting technique to use. And as it so turns out, that Om is the first and foremost of all mantras, and it is the sound of cosmic energy, and it contains all the sounds in itself. The spiritual efficacy of Om is heard not by the ears, but by the heart. It surcharges the innermost being of a person with vibrations of the highest reality, and all galaxies, including ours, are rotating, and the sound they make is Om. And the anaswaram, or the nasal sound, that humming, boosts the production of nitric oxide in the body, and this was known to Indians and documented more than 7,000 years ago. And Om opens up quantum tunneling where the wormholes do not have a restriction of speed of light. And the secrets of this universe are contained in energy, frequency, and vibration. And if you make the sound of Om in front of a drop of liquid, it will transform itself into a Sri Yantra, which is a very specific visual form which is symmetrical and also holographic, in that every bit of it contains all of it. And the Sri Yantra was revealed to Maharishis with 12-strand DNA and king-size pineal glands more than 8,000 BC. So, doing the Om and Hari Om mantras, also very, very powerful technique. And I guess in continuing with the train of thought of the spiritual journey, I would say that it's really important as well to connect with how the universe works. And as mentioned earlier in this program, it's your beliefs and your emotions, your intentions that create your version of reality, what you experience. And actually, this has been verified by computer simulation. I know if you check into some of Greg Braden's work, Braden, he gets into this quite considerably. And actually, current quantum physicists have postulated that the entire holographic universe functions with the energy of consciousness. And like any computer program, it operates much like a virtual reality computer program, holographic in nature. And like any computer program, it has a language of interpretation. And the language of interpretation of the universe is belief. Simplified down, what you believe is. Thus, why placebo works. Because you believe. And if you do take the time to do your inner work and write down your beliefs in any given area, you'll find that what you experience is what you believe. And it also works backwards. So whatever is happening outwardly in your world is telling you that this is happening because of frequency match and belief match, which creates that experience. And it's not there to punish you. It's there to show you what you believe, so you can make adjustments. And, of course, by taking responsibility, which is a real tough one these days because nobody wants to take responsibility. And people want to send their kids to school and have somebody else be responsible for their education. You send your kid to the doctor to take responsibility for your health and maintaining health. We send our nobody wants to take responsibility. There's so many others that they think are professionals or experts. And in point of fact, many of these experts are only regurgitating information that they've been taught from other levels of their organization so that they can become licensed. And a lot of that original information is very skewered. And in point of fact, much of it's very harmful. So I don't care what subject that you want to discuss. The truth is that there's only about 6% of the known information is even available to the public, and most of it is set up for control and fear purposes. And the bottom line is that you need to really take a different perspective with respect to creating your reality, because if you're not creating your reality, somebody else probably is, and they're getting you to believe certain concepts and attitudes and ideas that may or may not be in your best interest. And certainly this is why we have things like television, multiple brainwashing techniques that are used there. And unfortunately, a very naive public, in my personal opinion, like I don't have a television, and you're not going to see me have one, not because I can't afford to get one. It's because I don't want one. I'll try, and there's another area that I will try to distance myself from is technology. Technology lowers your frequency. Television lowers your frequency, lowers your immune system, not to mention the brainwashing capacity that it has. And the spin on certain events and realities. And I guess it's becoming sort of an interesting topic these days, because I guess fake news is becoming now kind of a trendy thing, like, gee, which is the fake news? And it's almost like this is the George Orwell's 1984, where black is white and white is black, because there's just so many things that are just totally opposite of true that people take as fact. And I should point our listening audience to what's called the ultimate truths of reality, because not only does the universe function on the basis of belief, but many of the there are actually used to be a list, and it was a list of 23 factors, and just to give you an idea of some of those. No, one of them is everything in my reality is created by my beliefs. No kidding. Consistent with what Bashar says, consistent with what Pleiadians say. As a creator, I'm 100% responsible for everything I create. And here's this point about responsibility. And responsible doesn't mean you're to blame. It means that you have responsibility. You have the ability to respond. If you realize that you're creating your own experiences in life, then you have the power to fix them. It's a point of power. If you're not responsible for creating your experiences, then you're basically you're just powerless. You're just a victim of circumstances, and victim being the key word, because victimhood is represented when we complain, when we blame, and when we justify our circumstances. Those are indicators of victimhood thinking and victimhood consciousness. So if you want to be a victim, do a lot of blaming, complaining, and justifying your circumstance, because that'll do it, 100%. And another one of those ultimate truths of reality, and this comes from, by the way, the College of Christ Consciousness, the channeling from Mother Mary by Jean Hatch that was kept in the mystery schools for like 2,000 years. Sounds like Bashar stuff. And here's another one of the ultimate truths of reality. This isn't Bashar. This is from Mother Mary. It says, all events are neutral. There are no negative experiences, although I can choose to define any experience as negative. Therefore, if I'm experiencing negativity in my life, then I have chosen it. Another one, there is only one vibration, love. Fear is the illusion of the absence or lack of love. Another one, I cannot be in fear unless I believe that whatever I fear has more power than I do. Another one, how I feel is a reaction to what I believe. Another one, all disease is caused by the denial of negativity within. Another one, there are no victims, there are only lessons. Another one, I'm the only authority in my life. However, in an attempt to avoid taking responsibility for being that authority, I can choose to falsely believe that someone or something else has power over me. Another, every person, place, or thing of which I become aware is a mirror and has the potential to be a gift. Another one, I am that which I create. And I think this one, which is number 21 on the list, that there are no limitations. If I have an experience that I define as a limitation, it is happening as a result of the way I think. The appearance of all limitation is merely an effect of error thinking. God has no limitations, and as an aspect of God, neither do I, unless I believe I do, in which case I'll create the appearance of limitation as a direct result of my belief. And I really like that about having no limitations unless you believe you do. Because in point of fact, especially when we start talking about the health area, then there is clearly stages of belief with respect to how much you can create and maintain and deal with health concerns. And it's kind of like, a couple hundred years ago, travel was by horseback, or then there came along, boats and trains and eventually planes and then, supersonic aircraft and now space vehicles and whatever, but it's all up, it's a progression. And there's a progression with respect to health as well in terms of your self-empowerment in that area. And things that are believed in one generation, new information comes about that's, let's say, more self-empowering, and I think you're going to find there's going to be some huge, huge changes in the way that humans are dealt with. Probably going to take another 10 years before there's some major changes, but that's just my prediction. And all of these concepts are rules, actually, that are part of reality. And by the way, at etyoga.com, my latest book is called ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. And if you're interested, you can go to my website and you can purchase the book, $9.95. A lot of people like the book. If you like ET Yoga, you probably like the book because it's jam-packed with information. It's like 10 books in one. It's 300 pages long and jam-packed with information. And I've had some really nice feedback with respect to people who have actually, taken the time to make that purchase. The website was set up to be a one-stop shop for spiritual people. So if you didn't have the time to go searching the net and you just happened to trip into ET Yoga, then that would at least, it's not the be-all, end-all, but it's one way that covers a lot of different avenues so that you don't have to go looking around, because I spent a few thousand hours putting that the information together that's at the site. And I should also point out that at the end of each ET Yoga program, I like to share with the audience the Vichara, or the Who Am I technique. And from Sri Ramana Maharshi, he states, and in my opinion, this is one of the truly self-realized beings on the planet. He is not currently in physical form, but not that he's the only one, because there are multiple people who have achieved self-realization, many of which, or most of which, we never hear about. But he states that for the subsistence of the mind, there is no other means more effective than self-inquiry. This is the direct method. All other methods are practiced while retaining the ego. Self-inquiry heads directly to self-realization by removing the obstacles which make you think that the self is not already realized. Meditation requires an object to meditate on, where in self-inquiry there is only the subject and no object. This is the difference between them. Ask, why should self-inquiry alone be considered the direct path to self-realization? And he states, and this is a quote, because every kind of path except self-inquiry presupposes the retention of the mind as the instrument for following it, and cannot be followed without the mind. The ego may take different and more subtle forms at different stages of one's practice, but it is never destroyed. The attempt to destroy the ego or the mind by other methods, other than self-inquiry, is like a thief turning policeman to catch the thief that is himself. Self-inquiry alone can reveal the truth that neither the ego nor the mind really exists, and enables one to realize the pure, undifferentiated being of the self or the absolute. And the first and foremost of all thoughts that arise in the mind is the primal I thought. It is only after the rise or origin of the thought that innumerable other thoughts arise. In other words, only after the first personal pronoun, I, has arisen do the second and third personal pronouns, you, he, it, she, etc., occur to the mind, and they cannot subsist without it. So I think that's a really good explanation of the whole idea behind the Who Am I technique. Who am I being the method of self-inquiry. And this vichara, as it was called, was the technique that was given to Sri Ramana Maharshi's most advanced disciples. And like I said, because of my own personal success with doing this technique, I like to share it with my ET Yoga audience, because that's what ET Yoga is all about. You know, ET Yoga is about talking about self-realization. It's called sharing ideas on a spiritual journey. And my personal background with Sri Ramana Maharshi, as well as Paramahansa Yogananda and Sri Swami Satchidananda, that's my basic yoga background. And what I find is that even though there was a lot of great information and techniques that I learned by being with these great masters, one of the things that never came up in my experience was this concept that we create our own reality. And to my way of thinking, that's an ET concept. And I came across that was from Bashar. And so I think this is really the connection between why there's such a thing as called ET yoga, because we do create our own reality, and I thank the ETs and ET channeled information for that link, that connection, because to me that's a huge connection, and that's why I connect ET and yoga together, and that's how we do yoga on the radio. It's because it's not a physical posture, it's a concept, it's a state of being, it's a level of consciousness. And as usual about this time, I'd like to wish my listening audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'll now do the vichara, or the Who Am I technique. And basically, you place your full consciousness in the center of your forehead, in your ajna center, and become that spot. And once you've become that spot, you then do your self-inquiry and ask, who am I? You can do it multiple times and at whatever speed suits you, like Japa Yoga mantras. then when you become fully that spot, then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of